T.D. Worthington, pastor of the Pathway Baptist Church in Goldsboro, North Carolina, and this is Pathlight for this Father's Day. And we're so glad to have you tuned in to the program this week, and hope it will indeed be a blessing to you. I would like to mention to you at the very outset of today's program, sometimes I mention this at the end of the program, but if you're listening to this by way of radio and you say, you know, I've got a friend that I think this message might would have helped, but I guess it's too late now because it's the end of the program. Well, indeed it is. It might be for radio, but this message is available on the Pathlight podcast if you want to check that out. And so check that out, if you will. It's also available on the Facebook side of Pathway Christian Academy, Christian Bible College, and Go Mix Christian Radio. You will find it at all three of those, and there are actually a few others. Also, this particular message in written form is found in the June edition, the current edition, of PathPoint Magazine. And you can also check that out online at PathPoint Magazine. That's all one word, and PathPoint has an E on the end, PathPointe, magazine.org. And you will also, you should be able to find it there. The message is entitled The Love for the Father. So I hope you'll check that out. Let me also mention very quickly, Christian Bible College, if you're interested in beginning or continuing your theological training, Christian Bible College might can help. It's a correspondence program, began in 1980 under the leadership of Dr. Cecil Johnson, and continuing today to help train men and women in various, whether it's Christian education or Christian counseling or pastoral work or missionary work or whatever it might be. Check out the webpage at christianbiblecollege.org. You'll find a lot of information there, christianbiblecollege.org. And then if you'd like more information, give us a call. The phone number will be there, and someone can help you and explain to you how easy it might be for you to earn a degree, whether it's a general diploma or maybe a bachelor's degree, right on up to a PhD level in some theological courses. It's available for you. Again, that is christianbiblecollege.org. I hope you'll check that out, if you will. Right now, though, just before today's message, and again, today's message is entitled Love for the Father, and we're going to use John 17, verse number 4, as a beginning point today. So hope you'll stay tuned for the entire message. But right now, just before we get around to the message, I've got Ivan Parker to sing for us. I hope you'll stay tuned.
My soul in sad exile was out on life's sea, so burdened with sin and distressed, till I heard a sweet voice say, make me your choice, and I
In your Bibles today, we're going to be looking in the book of John and chapter number 17. John 17 and verse number 4 is where we're going to be today. The Lord Jesus says these words. He says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. We're talking today about fatherhood and specifically the love for the Father. As a boy, I always had tremendous respect and admiration for my dad. In my eyes, there was no greater man on earth, no stronger man, no more intelligent man, no more loving and giving and caring man than my dad. Okay, now I realize perhaps you felt the same way about your dad. I understand, but I'm just simply saying I marveled at him. There were so many times that my respect for my dad and my fear of disappointing him kept me out of trouble. Now, I regret to say it did not always keep me on the straight and narrow, but it did on many occasions. There were times that I was tempted to do wrong that I did not, because I knew if my dad found out about it, it would break his heart, and I didn't want to do it. It would disappoint him, and I didn't want to do that. So my advice to dads and sons today would be for sons to honor their dads and to give heed to the counsel of their godly fathers, and for dads to be worthy of that high regard. None of us as fathers are going to be perfect, but that certainly ought to be the goal we shoot for. As men, we all tend to look at things from our own vantage point. As we become aware of a situation, our first thought is often, how's this going to affect me? Your boss says, I'm shorthanded today. Can you help me work a little extra? Well, how's this going to affect me? You know, how's this going to work out for my good? We all have that selfish tendency about us. Therefore, we tend to look at the cross of Jesus Christ as chiefly something Christ did for us. And rightly so. We shall rejoice and sing of that marvelous truth forever and ever. Christ died on the cross for me and for you. The Bible teaches us that our Lord died on the cross for our sin. Yet, I ask the question, is this the chief reason he went to the cross? Actually, there's something we might call a parallel reality that can easily be overlooked. Jesus didn't simply die because he loved me. He died because he loved and was obedient to his heavenly Father. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 2 is striking in the way that it combines his love for us and his obedience to the Father, all in one verse, where the Bible says this: Christ also hath loved us and has given himself for us an offering, listen, and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. His sacrifice was a sweet-smelling savor to his Father. This is even more evident as you look at the gospel narratives. Near the start of Jesus' public ministry, he says these words, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." Jesus says, I'm here to do the Father's will. I'm to finish his work. Again, that's John 4, verse 34. As the ministry of our Lord continued, it becomes evident that the work of the Father and the will of the Father is wrapped up with the work of Jesus Christ, including his death on the cross. John's gospel makes it clear that the chief reason that Jesus completes this work is because it will bring glory to the Father. Listen to John 12, 27 and 28. For this cause came I unto this hour. He goes on to say, Father, glorify thy name. In chapter 17 and verse number 1 of John's gospel, he says this, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy son, that thy son also may glorify thee. This is as he's approaching death on the cross. He said, the hour has come. Father, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. And of course, the agony of Jesus' prayer in Gethsemane brings out the same concern for his Father, where he would say, not my will, but thine be done. And the reference there is Luke 22, verse number 42. I always find it moving to see those times in the Gospels when Jesus resolutely sets out to Jerusalem knowing what awaited him. And it's easy to focus on the fact that he is motivated to do that by a love for me. And indeed, he does have a love for me. No doubt about a grand and great love for me. But a true reflection of the New Testament will also bear in mind that he was motivated by a desire to obey, please, and glorify the Father that he also loves. And this is wonderful news for several reasons. First off, the Bible says, thou shalt have no gods before me. Exodus 20, verse number 3, you're familiar with the Ten Commandments. If we regard the death of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross as solely or primarily motivated by his love for me, his love for us, there's a danger that he might be violating this commandment. Jesus himself said we're to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Could Jesus be guilty of violating that commandment? Well, of course not. We see in the life of our Lord that nothing was a greater concern for him than accomplishing the will of his Father. He wanted to glorify the Father, and he did so by finishing the work he was given. Yes, Jesus loved me, and he loves you. Jesus loves the world, for that matter. But yet Jesus loves the Father more. He loved his Father more. The second thing I'd like to mention is that Jesus' love for his Father and for us are not at odds one with the other. Most of the songs we sing in church, and probably most of the messages we hear in church, tell of God, of Jesus' love for us. His love for his Father is not a major theme of the songwriters or the poets. Maybe we have an idea that if Jesus went to the cross chiefly out of obedience to the Father, that that would somehow diminish or lessen his love for us. In other words, if Jesus did that primarily for the Father, then he went to the cross just to do a job. It was just a job for him. There was no emotion. Well, of course, that's not true. And yet the wonderful thing about the cross is that Jesus' love for his Father and his love for you and I match up perfectly. How does the cross show Jesus' love for us? It tells us that he is willing to face agonizing death in order to win eternal life for us. And what is eternal life? May I ask you, what is eternal life? According to John 17:3, it is knowing and glorifying God. That is our highest good. Eternal life is knowing God. Yes, you say, well, eternal life is dwelling in heaven eternally, being with God. Yes, it is, but it is knowing and eternally glorifying God, our highest good. This is the relationship for which we were made, and that will give us eternal satisfaction. In other words, the death of our Lord Jesus Christ achieves both the greatest good for us and the greatest glory for God, all at the same time. Isn't it surprising to read Isaiah's prophecy that the Father took pleasure in the death of the Son? When Jesus Christ was brutally murdered at Calvary, God did not weep. His heart was not broken. No sigh of misery fell upon his lips. The day of Jesus' death was no day of sadness for the Father. Indeed, it was a day of greatest pleasure. Now, I understand that in our humanity, that seems a bit unnatural. When Jacob was told of the apparent death of his son Joseph, the Bible says he mourned for his son many days. He refused to be comforted. and he purposed to carry his grief down to the grave. That's Genesis 37, verses 34 and 35. Likewise, when Job learned of the loss of his children, he rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell upon the ground. Job chapter 1, at verse number 20. And yet again, when Absalom is killed in battle, David wept. Although Absalom had rebelled against his dad, he rebelled against David, driving him from his throne and waging war against him, David wailed at the sad news, 2 Samuel 18:33, and said this, "O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son." So the death of a son brings pain to the father. The actions of these men are not surprising, but unlike them, God took pleasure in the death of Christ. The Bible says that he was pleased, that is the Father, to bruise him, the Son, and he, the Father, put him, the Son, to grief. That's in Isaiah 53. And so, when the Son willfully, voluntarily, took the suffering of our sin upon himself, every step he took on the way to echoed through the universe this message. Nothing is more important than doing the will of my Father. Every step that Jesus took, every mark of the whip upon his back, every thorn upon his brow said, there's nothing more important than doing the will of my Father. Every blow that drove the nails in his hand, in his feet, and that spear in his side said, there's nothing more important than doing the will of my Father. And so when the Father forsook the Son and handed him over to the curse of the cross and lifted not a finger to spare him pain, he had not ceased to love his Son. In that very moment when the Son was taking upon himself everything that God hates in us, that is every sin, and God was forsaking him to death, even then the Father knew that the measure of his Son's suffering was the depth of his Son's love for the Father. And in that love, the Father took the deepest of pleasure. Jesus would say in John 10, verses 15 and 17, I lay down my life for the sheep. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Did you grab a hold of that? He says, my Father loves me because I am willing to die on the cross for the sheep. And that is the Father's will, and my Father takes pleasure in the fact that I love him enough to do that. He prayed in John 17:4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. In other words, when Jesus died on the cross, he glorified the Father's name as he saved us from our sin. How then shall the Father not delight in the bruising of his Son? When you see Jesus Christ handed over to the soldiers to be crucified, you see the one who has been chosen of God to stand in our place. When you see him stretched upon the cross, nailed and lifted up, he does so for the elect of God throughout all the ages. He represents them. When he suffers there upon the cross, he cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He actually at that very moment literally and fully bore the sin of all the elect of God. On the cross, the exact punishment that our sin deserved was poured out. All the woe, all the grief, all the eternal agony that our sin deserved was inflicted upon him. And now, there is not so much as a speck, an ounce, an iota, a hair, an atom, a molecule of that sin's punishment left for me or left for you or left for those for whom Jesus suffered. All the elect of God, God will never hide his face from us, but he did hide his face from his Son when he took upon himself our sin. If Christ is punished in my stead, then I shall not be punished. Furthermore, the Father was delighted to show his grace, his justice, and his wisdom in giving his Son as my substitute and yours. Jesus says in John 10:17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. He was pleased because Christ on the cross sought the glory of God. Every step to the cross, Jesus echoed the words, my Father is of infinite worth. His will, his pleasure, his holiness, and his justice are the reality of life, and all that is important. And every hammer blow driving the nails into his hands and feet on the cross echoed through the universe, my Father is of infinite value. What he has purposed is all that matters. What alone matters is his righteousness and holiness, his justice and his love. The Father delighted in his Son. His Son delighted in the Father. And the Son and the Father delighted in us out of mere infinite grace. On the cross, the greatest forgiveness was given because it was extended to all sinners. The greatest love was displayed, and that is the Son's love to the Father. The greatest sacrifice was made, and that is the blood of Christ. And the greatest worship was rendered, again, the Son to the Father. Remember, we've talked before about worship is linked to sacrifice. You don't worship when you sing five hymns. You worship when you sacrifice. Thus, the greatest act of worship was the greatest sacrifice, and the greatest sacrifice was what? Was the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Thus, the greatest act of worship would have to be linked to the greatest sacrifice. So, may I ask you today, and if you're hearing this on Father's Day, it's a timely, opportune time to ask you, are you a father worthy of your son or daughter's honor? Now, all of us fail in this from time to time. I know that. But is that the goal of your life right now, to be worthy of my children's honor? Can you affirm that it's your intention to so live that you will display a thirst for God before your children? That they will see your thirst for God, and they will want to emulate that thirst in their own lives. They say, I want to be like Dad. And your daughters will say, I want to marry a man like Dad. That's what I want in life. And your sons will say, I want to be like Dad. But here's the real question I want to ask you today. Have you been to Calvary? Have you ever considered the heart of the cross? Do you see that God was pleased to give his son to die in your place and in mine? Do you see how glorious God is in his love and grace? Do you see that? Then bow before him, worship him, and go forth in every aspect of your life and praise him. The Lord Jesus Christ had love, honor, and respect for the Father, and you need to do likewise. He said, I've glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. But I ask you today, are you a father worthy of honor? Are you a father worthy of that kind of respect? We all fail, but that should be our goal in life. And then children, you honor your mom and dad, and certainly on this Father's Day, honor your worthy father. Well, with that, I want to thank you for tuning in to today's broadcast. If our programs are a blessing to you, we would certainly enjoy hearing from you. Reminder again that these programs are available on the Pathlight Podcast, whatever app or program you might use to listen to podcasts, check it out. It should be there. Also available on the Facebook site of Go Mix Christian Radio, Christian Bible College, Pathway Christian Academy, and there are several others. Well, I hope you have a wonderful Father's Day and a wonderful week as you walk with the Lord. May God's richest blessings be upon you, is our prayer. T.D. Worthington saying goodbye, and you have a wonderful week as you walk with our Lord.